Hello friends, we are learning the subject of customer-centric organization and we are on chapter 9 which is on outside-in channels of distribution. So as you know that we are learning systematically various marketing pieces and when it becomes outside-in, what all needs to be looked at. So that is what we covered earlier, product, price, etc. So likewise, another marketing mix piece is place, which is distribution. So we will get into understanding that. Broadly, the objective of learning for us is to understand channels for customers and channels as customers. So this is a concept that we need to understand, distribution channel to fit customers. So how do you fit your distribution channel vis-a-vis customers? Because everything is customer driven now. Distribution in marketing strategy. So what is the place distribution has in this outside in marketing organization? Using marketing channels to create value. So how can you create value? Because everything, again, as I said, only when you create value. So why not distribution also is one of the element of value creation. Types of channel partners and distribution today. So what are the challenges and opportunities? So with that, let me introduce to this concept of distribution in the first place. Any organization, distribution even traditionally used to play the role, but it was a very straight line from a manufacturer to the user, or from one businessman to the other businessman, and they were laid down limited options available, rail, road and airport, you know, airlines, etc. And again, they had a very standard packages, which is not the way today. Now there are complex needs. Cargo is moving across the world and each one is looking to get a better value, better cost advantage, etc. Today, now Indian automobile companies, if you have to understand, imports spare parts all the way from South Korea and, you know, other part of the world. And look at, even after entire spent on the distribution, etc., they feel that it is coming to them cheaper. And as they increase volume, they demand some other way. So this can be only possible if your distribution you arrange very effectively. So the pattern matching methodology is used to establish an appropriate description of the logistics content and context in the strategy of the firm. So now various companies, the supply chain management is SCM, is a very broad term, and it includes integrating various modes of transportation, which will give you the speed, the flexibility and cost advantage. So that's what is a pattern matching. You have to work what is the right way to do. Distribution solution need not be optimal in terms of lowest cost and the highest service value. So now customers are willing to offer you a better price if you create a higher service order level, if you add value in your delivery services, etc. So that's where the trade-off many manufacturers are willing to consider. And if you can really give them the better reach, the timely availability, etc., so then the competition, the person is achieving a competitive advantage with the help of you as a service provider of a distribution. Research shows that the similar outside in context can be approached. So here now, after giving you essentially the idea, it establishes that now therefore even distribution is a element of outside in strategy consideration. So we will be understanding them. So first of all, get a brief overview about outside in the distribution arena. A customer focused approach, which is flexibility and speed. Today, why it is so? That is what we will look at. Two different aspects are provided to intra-company benefit, that is within the company, what benefit company leverages. So it generally increases the speed and accuracy of interpretation of a partner performance and compresses the planning horizon to reduce risk. So you overall achieve a complete speed with minimal of a fault, this thing that happens. So you get a better accuracy because you and partner are well aligned. Compresses the planning horizon to reduce the risk. Compress the planning horizon means now that each one has agreed upon certain role that one has to adhere to. So then you focus on the area which is under you. Though the scope has gone, say, like integrating multi-vendor, planning. But after that, it has been very clear that each one is responsible for this. So your then plan focuses on delivering what you have agreed upon. So that's a intra-company. Intercompany, that is between the two enterprise, how does it help? responds directly to the customers. So you are able to now respond to customers very, very effectively and efficiently. Correlate multiple processes across the trading partners. So you have various trading partners, you all have multiple processes now to able to sync that well and get you the desired result of speed and information transfer. This is what is possible through the proper supply chain or a distribution management. Recognize impact of resource decisions on the entire value chain. So now, because you are looking at the total distribution as a perspective, every addition in the resource will be questioned from the what value that he or that investment brings it. Let's put it like that, not he or she necessarily. So resource decisions are questioned on the value that it can add. This all things are designed from flexibility and speed perspective, because organization outside, the consumer market is changing fast. More and more companies, to stay competitive and relevant, are learning from the best and are adopting itself. So companies are looking at each other, companies are looking at integration of a technology, companies are willing to consider various suppliers who are connected well, okay, and each one shouldering the responsibility. So today you have example like Samsung, Apple, Procter & Gamble, even Walmart is a very good example of a supply chain or the distribution management. They have a power because the kind of volume that they command. When they give an order on Samsung for the mobile phones, they don't even take the delivery. Samsung instructs their local service provider to supply this to a specific Walmart store. So you see, they have eliminated entire handling of the Samsung mobile, not only from procuring from them, storing them and delivering to the respective stores. So much of integration that is coming in, which is possible due to both manufacturer and service provider are coming together. They are driving the design of their supply chain around the needs of their customers. So now, why this is happening? Because ultimately, everyone wants to remain competitive. Everyone wants to be related to the customers. Customers are looking for specific value. To provide specific value, you can do certain things because that's an area of competence that you have. The other thing your other service provider must do, you know, to remain you, to retain you as a competitor, this thing. The one who manufactures, okay, he's an expert in that technology to manufacture. He may not be expert in supply or a distribution management. So how that partner can play that pivotal role? So that's also very critical for achieving that outside-in approach. So in that whole era, the next point that we are trying to give you is, after giving you outside-in perspective, which is customer focus for the flexibility and speed, we look at how the tension, okay, of a competing demand can be handled in this outside-in distribution approach. The enterprise focus approach, the enterprise focus means it is inside out. My organization, my process, my product, my way of working, okay, and the customer focus approach, that is outside-in. Customer is expecting this, customer need this, customer prefers this. You know, that's how you look at it and then realign your entire operation, then you are outside in centric. One is not better than the other. So now this statement is a contradicting this thing. So far you might have been understanding that outside in is better than the inside out approach, etc. This statement establishes that both are not necessarily mutually exclusive. They have to work in harmony. So both are needed and equally valuable. You are invested heavily. So you are already an organization before you decided to be outside in. Okay, you have invested in that. So you cannot totally turn the table out. So both has to happen. The transition also has to happen. But there will be an area, like here it is given SAP. It's your enterprise planning resource, which will remain an asset. How you then leverage it for the outside in approach? So both has to sink in. That's what it tries to tell you. First, you need to you have to have the enterprise approach in place. So your enterprise approach means your inside out approach to various intra things has to be in place. So what you only can do, what is related to your doing things, which may finally shape it up to the end result, which is as expected by the customer. So you have to first focus on that, and then you can build through the outside in needs of the broader market. Now once you do that, then you try to see what is it that customer needing it, and you try to align. So continue to tell you how the tension in the can be handled, resolving the tension of a competing demand. Here is a graphical representation. One end, there is a gap that needs to be bridged between the two, and today we see the variety of approaches. So broadly, just understand one end is the inside out, where in those days standardization and efficiency were looked at, while in the outside in approach, flexibility and speed is demanded because market is constantly changing. Gap is breached today. How does this gap is breached today? So it says both are valid and yet competing demand, and they have their own needs. This bridge gap is breached through manual intervention. You have to do a lot of intervention at various points to see that the gap is breached. You have to have the custom, cumbersome and costly integration projects. So you have to put in various nodal projects, various fit-in projects, plug-in projects kind of thing. Add on modules to ERP. You have to add various modules into your enterprise resource software, etc. You have to have various web portals so that all your stakeholders can link and connect, etc. However, this cannot scale efficiently enough for evolving customer needs. Despite all these efforts, what is happening is you really cannot have a scalable model. Scalable model to take you from X to say 5X. So that's what it tries to tell you, efficiently enough for evolving customer needs. So with this framework, which essentially been explained, let's move forward. So what we are trying to help you understand is additional resources to bridge the gap to really meeting customer needs. Those are, so it earlier mentioned to you, additional resources like automation of customer driven process. You see, you are looking at a scalability. Now in the outside in approach, what is firmly believed that even make customer play part of the role. So you kind of automate customer driven process. The outside in supply chain cannot be successful if the bridge between your enterprise and the customer continues to be manual and costly. So you have various ordering process, then your various aligning the transportation process, etc. are manual, then you cannot achieve. So try and do what you can automate, which is an outside in customer driven side as much as you can. Automation in the enterprise must be extended out through the customer's process also. So now this automation capability that you have done, integrate with the customer. Now this may be more relevant for the business to business, but even there a lot of scale and operations are getting integrated. So I have worked in SK Bearing say for ages, like during 90 to 98. At that time the steel pipe, you know, which is required for the bearing, you know, outside and inner ring to be made, the pipe used to come and merely getting dumped in the warehouse. And then whenever we have a production plan, the pipes were brought into the production area, then whatever cleaning, shinning, etc. And then it goes through the process of cutting into rings, etc. Today, the pipe manufacturer only arranges, there is a module, there is a say in a structure. Pipe manufacturer supplies pipes duly put into that structure. And this structure is downloaded, and it is not like coming in well in advance, etc. They are generally coming as per the production plan, and this structure is such that when it is arranged outside opposite to the machine, there is no other manual processes required. Machine and this will match in such a way that machine can start pulling the tubes and do the cutting, etc. So that kind of an integration one has to achieve, that kind of an automation. Additional resources to bridge the gap to really meeting customer needs. So that is what we are understanding. What are the additional resources that you need? Broad and deep trading partner integration. So you have to also now work with your trading partner. Now, a lot of FMCG companies, earlier they were not giving an access to their trading partner to see various inventories, various product movements, etc. Now they have given that access to the trading partner. I have heard a lot about Maruti. They are so well connected with the trading partners so that they try to achieve literally just in time concepts. So this and various other principles, that is what is an additional resources. Additional resources as an investment or automation, the manpower and all those aspects. And this integration must be industrial strength. So this when you achieve, I can even today probably I'm convinced to say that nobody probably still have in the automotive industry achieved the kind of supply chain integration which Maruti has achieved. You know, and all are taking them as the follower, the benchmark company, and then try to work around. Real visibility. So in the tension resolution for the outside-in approach related delivery, you know, to really shape up. Next is a real visibility. This includes understanding where you have product. Now, all the stakeholders, some of them are inside you and some of them are outside you. They must get a clear idea where you have the product, understanding where you have material to make that product, understanding delay in shipments if happening, and understanding the market demand, what is moving where there is an excess stock lying. So, all aspects of, so that real visibility has to come to the all the stakeholders. So, that can give you the lot of flexibility and speed of response. So, having understood essentially this outside in, a customer focused approach, various perspective of it, which essentially gives the flexibility and speed, we enter into the next section, which is distribution channel to fit customers. If you remember, that was also one of the objective. A recent study determines that the high performance business excel in development of a meaningful customer insights and practical ways to put those insights into action. A big statement as such, but it just tries to tell you, get the customer insight well. Next is they understand what their customers want, so that insight will reveal you what exactly your customer wants, okay, and they know how to deliver that. Once you know that what only customer needs, but how customer needs, you are aligning your delivery accordingly. So, you know, it gives you a complete perspective right from making what customer needs, but delivering it also. And unwritten, but nonetheless, the significant extension of this idea is that they not only know what customers will buy, but where and how they want to buy. That is what I've just explained. So, you will have the complete perspective. So, not from the product development, product manufacturing, but you will also know where and how they buy. So, online or offline. So, those kind of understanding. At their most basic level, distribution partners enable suppliers to deliver goods or services to end users. Distribution partner, that is a role. Whatever finished product you have made has to reach the end consumer. And distributors reach significantly influences the extent to which supplier can engage with the customer. So, the reach that these people have can be leveraged to create a kind of a engagement with the customer. So, they play that vital role. Company can only visualize, action has to be by that, you know, your supplier and your distributing partner. On a more meaningful level, distribution partners provide customer service in areas where supplier cannot do so. So, that's another this thing, LG or for that matter, Crompton Greaves, they make so many multiple products, okay, and therefore they have entered multiple millions of houses. Now, can Crompton Greaves or this company can ever think of employing so many people? Okay, so what they do, outsource. So, they rely on their service partners. Taken together, the two deliver an enhanced customer experience. So, in a service marketing, there is a concept called flower. So, all petals of flower other than the core, which is the center, and some of the key aspects, company can retain with it, but rest company can outsource. So, that makes a complete flower. The customer will not see who's doing what. They will see that I am getting a good service even after the sale from LG or say from Samsung, you know, like that. So, that's what everybody is resorting to. So, dependence on the enhanced customer experiences through your distribution partner. So, let's have a look at this particular framework. We are understanding distribution channel to fit customers. Okay. Now, there are various channels which is prevalent. This list need not be exhaustive. So, one is directly producer to the consumer, which is possible through online or a company's own web portal. Or you have a producer retailer reaching to the consumer. You do not have any other intermediary. You have a direct reach to the retail store and you do that. Very rarely in today's extensive competitive market, you have a producer wholesaler. So, you will have a wholesaler which is through a state level or particular level, and then they will reach out to the various retailer and retailer will reach out to the consumers. Or you have producer, agent, wholesaler, retailer, and consumer. So there are certain roles that agents play, and there are types of agents. Some agents who are merely the mover of the goods, they do not own the responsibility for anything, while some agents take the onus of responsibility and then they supply to the other partners in the network. So that's what, so these are various channels that is a possible channel for consumer goods, and the services can differ. So that's another understanding through this. So in today's era, where you are looking at an experience delivery using your distribution network, if it is mismanaged, okay, then it will create a poor experience and it will be a drain on supplier. So therefore, one must work with them. Poor fit partners, partners you have chosen blindly, or misaligned objective, their objective is something else, your objective is something else, or insufficient incentives, etc. They all result into opportunity loss, because their relationship, their ability to deliver experience and their relationship with you will not match. Failure to reach end users or to communicate with those end users through distributors effectively leaves the door open for competitor to competitor to get that business. So if you fail to reach your end customers properly through the efficient distribution channel, or you communicate, or your ability to communicate with the network partner to deliver the effective services as expected by the consumers, keeps the door open. It provides a window, it provides an access to the competitor to enter into your customers. The importance of marketing channels. So now, after we understood the earlier part within the same section called distribution channels to fit customers, we try to understand importance of marketing channel. Intermediaries make distribution and selling process more efficient. They are knowing the local area. They have a control over local resources. They have their business interests well aligned to how much volume they turn around. So they are always more efficient than probably your own company and their branch offices, etc. Intermediaries offer supply chain partners more than they could achieve. They also have a capabilities far beyond what supplier can themselves achieve, such as, you know, exposure to the market. They can really take their products wide and deep, because major metros, not only major metros, but tier one or a village level also. Technical knowledge and information sharing. They are well connected with the, you know, other customers and all. So you're upgrading their knowledge, they will be able to faster penetrate this, you know, and then they will work with the consumer so that they get the leverage of the technology advancement that you have achieved. Operational specializations. They are specifics, they are master in certain operationalization. So if you leverage that, they have invested themselves for that, so you don't have to. And scale of operation. They have created that scale of operation that is needed to meet today's challenges. So these are the advantages, the importance of marketing channel. Distribution in marketplace strategy. So now, after understanding distribution channel to fit customers, one of the aspects called importance of marketing channel, we understand next section, distribution in marketplace strategy. Buyers and sellers of goods are continuously looking beyond the boundaries of their current business environment. Now, each one, I am as a consumer also trying to see that what more can I get, you know, what more can I get from not only what is locally available, can I get something other than my area, can I get something other than my country. Likewise, the sellers also are trying to explore global markets. Globalization has raised a host of new opportunities. However, the challenges also come. As a new channel proliferates, competition in and among them intensifies. So new channel, new opportunity, new threats, etc. Competition, this thing, somebody, competition might have a better hands on that, and they capture that emerging distribution channel. So you became laggards in that. So those are the significance of distribution in the marketplace strategy. There are two major components in the marketing strategy linked to the distribution, so to say. How your enterprise will address the competitive marketplace. So competition is already also simultaneously evolving. So they are changing the way to do their business. They are changing the way to distribute their business. They are changing way to engage and deliver experience through the middleman or through the network. So how will you address that as a first place? You know, So that's the second one component of marketing strategy. And second, how will you implement and support your day-to-day operations? So you may have certain game plan to address the first point. How will you take that? How will you launch it, roll out it, and sustain it, and get the desired output? So that's the two things. So in the marketplace, essentially, this kind of a three distribution options, channel options are there. Very briefly, you have intensive distribution. They are generally for a very mass distribution, mass used generic product, low price, etc. Say things like chocolates, soft drinks, etc. You will get it at Panwala also, general store, medical store. You will get empty number of shops having it. Then you have an exclusive. Another extreme is an exclusive distribution. Now, this is like really, it involves a select target group of customers looking at some select kind of a product and needing exclusive service and support, etc. There you try to go for exclusive distribution. The product is usually highly priced and requires the immediate intermediary to place much details in its sale. Example would be the sale of vehicles, wherein require a lot of attention to the customers, right from information to persuasion during sales and closure and delivery thereof, and even afterwards. Or Tanishq gold jewelry, that's again an exclusive distribution. There are many other products which is select distribution. They are available at a select outlets. Say for example, you need a stationery item, you go to stationery. You need a computer accessories, you go to a store which sells computer accessories. You will not find them with Panwalas or a general store or a medical shop. Bisleri, you will find everywhere. So that's an intensive distribution. So you have various products which are select distribution. So that's what is a... Now, this has to marry in today's world. So this I will try to give you some perspective about this framework. If you look at it, it has been put up differently. Direct to end users, sell through dealer network, and sell through VAR, value added reseller. That's an acronym, VAR. Now sell to end users. Now sell to end users, you have a two distinct approach. You have a few select salespeople who handle select companies. Here say example given is Fortune 100 companies. You may be able to do this by having 15 odd number of salespeople. Other hand, there might be you have a second product line which goes to the small businessmen. They do not get into planning. They will be very ad hoc in their approach to ordering, etc. Now you cannot have those previous resources utilized to them. And so therefore you will try to do a different way to distribute. So you will create a website or a portal through which they order it as and when they want it, and you will supply to them as per your standard delivery process, etc. So you are now two markets, that Fortune 100 companies and small business, and you have two distribution channels, your own salespeople, that is personal selling, and you have an online selling, that is a direct one-to-one direct sale. Second is a sale through a dealer network. Now here you have a various kinds of network in place. The extreme one which we saw earlier was agent, wholesaler, and then sole selling agent, maybe retailer, and then customers. So your product passes through these people. Each one adds value in the way that they can, and it reaches the material to the consumer. They also participate in your promotion. They also participate in your rolling out certain schemes for the customers, etc. And another last one is a sale through a VAR, value added reseller. Now these are the people who do not just pass on your product to the end consumers. They themselves are an expert in certain domain. They add a value of a different nature. They bundle your product as one of the ingredients of their value added service. So you see that firefighting consultant, firefighting consultant who give a solution to the buildings, fire installations, fire preventive measures. Now he will have a supplier who supplies him not only the extinguishers or that water based sprinklers, also the fire alarms, etc. So they are those value added resellers who offers a one solution to the high rise building people, that is complete prevention, detection and prevention of the fire. Now for that detection, he needs fire alarms for supporting during fire, the sprinklers and fire extinguishers put on each floors. Then each floor they will have that with a pipe-based system so that whenever high fire, you use that. So you're this product. So they are the value-added reseller. So they add their expertise, knowledge, and your product is one of them. So these are the three ways your distribution, this thing can take place. So now after understanding various types, the nature and the various approaches to the distribution, about distribution channel approach, you know, approach that is what we earlier studied, which is intensive, selective and exclusive, is the external view. But in today's challenging and competitive environment, it is important to consider unifying back-end distribution. So they are like the front end. This is what consumer CEUs, but you need to unify your back-end to serve whatever system that you are adopting, maybe multiple system that you are adopting. So that's a crux of being an outside in. To become outside in the, and very focused on that, organizations and the channel member. So all those who are within your channel, now it's a time that they have to relate themselves very well. They have to realize that they alone cannot be profitable and viable for long. Earlier, wholesaler was not willing to listen to you much because he has taken possession of the goods and he was in a ability to tell you, do not teach me. Now, the expectation of experience, expectation of service has gone so high. He also depends on you. He also knows that he has to support retailer. So they have now started realizing that they have to work in a unified manner. Okay. So, and each one has to play the crucial role based on their capabilities and competencies. So that overall customer, when gets the experience, it is not only satisfying, fulfilling, but you are exceeding the experience every time. Now, how does this happen? It does cannot happen overnight. So there's a change that has taken place. Change from a conventional way of doing business to a new age way of doing business, which is vertical marketing system. So you see on your left, you have a conventional way of doing business, which was all are shown exclusive. Manufacturer just supplies to wholesaler, then wants to forget. Wholesaler supplies to retailer, wants to forget. He doesn't want to assist beyond just providing the goods, and retailer sells it to the customer the way he thinks is the right way. Now you see that there is a unification. The manufacturer is unified completely with the help of wholesaler, and you see the circular, this thing, there are various color, this thing, just to symbolize that they each has to sync with each other. It is not that wholesaler is responsible. That pictorially it is trying to tell you that manufacturer, wholesaler and retailer is to sync together. So that's what that, and then finally retailer delivers the experience to the consumer and exceeds it. So what is this? A vertical marketing system. So there are various variants to that vertical marketing system. We will first see that and then I will get into explaining them. So what we are learning is the vertical marketing system in detail. Vertical marketing system understanding requires two dimensions, in perspective, type of channel and characteristics of the channel. Now under the type of channel, you see that I have kept the traditional one as it is, but I have shown you the distinct nature of vertical marketing system: administered, contractual and corporate. Characteristics are cooperation, that is the level of cooperation, the depth and width of it, the control is generally by whom, and examples are being provided. I am going to explain this later. So at this stage, I'll be very brief. Traditional, there is hardly any cooperation because each one is just responsible to pass the goods. So therefore, no question of control. Typically, all the products are independent products, like right from, it could be any simple products, you can say wood furniture, or you can even say the electric motor, which has been traditionally supplied through Crompton Greaves to the farmers through various distribution partners. In the vertical marketing system, there are three. Administered, when you say. Now, here, you know, it is only the administrative control is there. Making, influencing is only the role that one can play. Final listing rests with the partner, distribution level partner. So, cooperation level can be minimum, media, or moderate to good level. Who will generally have the control? So here the one with the economic power and the leadership quality, it is generally seen that administrative listing is done well by the person who is in the intermediary stage. So he has an access and a power to deal with one end the manufacturer and the other network partner, etc. So here the General Electric is given as an example. General Electric is a pioneer of electrical goods and, you know, various products, solutions that they have developed. Now General Electric has a knowledge, and that knowledge through which they have given the power, you know, access to the intermediary to come to them whenever they are talking on a large projects. Okay, say for example, lighting of airport, upcoming new airport, or say new upcoming multi-story building, etc. So, or a new power plant. So, how can General Electric? So, that's where they play that role vis-a-vis their intermediary partner. So, they are the knowledge provider. So, overall, the administrative this thing could be by that intermediary who's going to grab it, and intermediary also may have somebody below who's finally going to supply the required goods. So, that's what first administered contractual. Here, each party is contractually bound to execute certain scope of work mutually decided. So, therefore, the cooperation expected is fairly good to very good, and it is governed entirely by the contractual terms and condition. Example is McDonald's. McDonald's have plenty of stores, you know, across even India and the world. Not that all of them are by the McDonald's, owned by them. They are like an individual entrepreneur who has taken the store brand, and then they supply as per the expectation standards, etc. They are known as essentially the licensee or a franchisee, but they will follow various things so that the customer delivery experience is not compromised. Then last is the corporate. Here there is a complete control and amount of cooperation is expected, generally maintained by the company itself, who owns that product or the brand. And the example given is the Florsheim. Florsheim is the largest shoe making company, and they are very well known for the quality handcrafting of the shoes, etc. And it is their pioneers since last so many decades they are there. Today also the family controls the entire vertical marketing system. They will assist at all level, you know, their Florsheim shoes outlets are also available in India, etc. But major control, drive and the force and the support to the system of a distribution is provided by them. Thank you.